Thank God He's led us here tonight, that He drew our hearts. And let's open our Bibles and get back into 1 Thessalonians. And tonight, we're going to go back into that second chapter. We launched into that last week. And it was really the beginning of God's masterpieces He shows that can be fulfilled in yielded ministers. Now, there will be some people that think, well, then I don't need to read this part because I'm not a minister. Well, I'm going to tell you something. We all have a ministry, and we do. And it's very important to understand that, is that the Word of God has called us. You know, we have been drawn. We've been given such a wonderful privilege to know the things that we do. And to whom much is given, much is required. And God has asked us to allow this fullness of God to dwell in our lives. And He wants that for us. Not that we would just be saved, but come to a full and exact knowledge of the truth. And it's in that knowledge of the truth, brothers and sisters, that we understand that we need to be lights to this world. And it is true. And especially to people that are Christians, and especially to brothers and sisters of like precious faith, ready to give every man an answer. Not that you want to or you don't, but when the Spirit gives you utterance and He makes that opening, by the grace of God, I would hope that God would allow me to be faithful to bring forth that word at that time. I know that there's been moments in my life, years back, when I didn't take advantage of an opening that the Lord had for me. Those are regrets, but at the same time, I know God has used that in my life to encourage me to not let those times slip by. Not that I'm making the door open. We understand as we read the Word of God, He makes the opening for us. That wonderful Holy Spirit will do that, and that's where we rest, is in His doing. But in that, we left off in the second verse, and we left off with Paul proclaiming that even after the abuses that he received in Philippi, and when we talk about abuses, he was beaten, he was scourged, he was put in the stocks and all of those things. But in verse 2, we read that he wasn't just bold. This is wonderful. That word bold really means he was growing in confidence at this time. It wasn't like he just reached a level and that was it. I mean, this was increasing at an increasing rate in his life, and it was growing in confidence in the contention or the battle that he was in. It was precious to him. And I think we've all had these times where the devil thinks that it's the knockout punch, and God is just using that as the springboard into another glory. And that's what the Lord does in our lives. And I know that it's very similar. Every time the devil is allowed to come in and do something, just like he did to Job, oh, I'll get him to curse you, God. You just watch this. And what glory was worked in that, all right? Wasn't of Job at all. It was just God's faithfulness. He knew that vessel. And whom he foreknew, he's predestinated. Praise God. And in that predestination, what he has given us, brothers and sisters, he's given us every provision to succeed. Every provision to succeed in finishing a course, in fighting a good fight of faith, in keeping the faith, and to receive that crown of righteousness. Praise the Lord. All right, so let's go ahead and get into verse 3. And it says there, "For our exhortation," again, this is Paul speaking, "was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile." So here we go. We first of all have this exhortation. And I want us to understand here that this is not just the sermons that he was speaking to these people at this time. This wasn't just the time that he had spent with these Thessalonians, but rather this was the whole calling. This was the entire calling to be an apostle of Christ. And it's in that calling that's now coming out, as we're going to read, these seven old creation traits. We're going to start reading about seven old creation traits that the Lord, by grace and grace alone, spared Brother Paul and Brother Silas from, that plagued many of the ministers of that day, and that plague the same ministers of today, and that will plague God's people unless we apprehend the grace of God that's there for us. And that's the truth. So let's get into each one of these. The first one we see here is their exhortation was not of deceit. And deceit here means to be led away from the right way. Led away from the right way. Another meaning of this is a fishing lure. A way to trick fish. Now, isn't that appropriate? I think it's very pertinent. I think about how many times I've heard about Christian people openly admitting, and somewhat proud that they use all sorts of baits, to try to entice or to try to win people to Christ. Now, however Christ is preached, I therein do rejoice. But let me ask you this. Didn't the Word of God tell us to follow Paul as he followed Christ? That's what the Word of God tells us. Well, what did Paul say about the Word of God? Preach the Word, Timothy. And that's what he said. As simply and as clearly as that, brothers and sisters, it wasn't trying to bring it in a different package and trying to trick somebody into this. It wasn't trying to entice them in because there's something here that maybe you're attracted to and then we'll try to get your eyes over to Jesus. It doesn't work that way. It'll never hook them. If it's not the Word of God, it's not going to be right. If it's not the Word of God, it's not going to be lasting. It's not going to sustain. You might have a happy feeling. You might have a moment of excitement. But that's going to fade because it's feeling. The Word of God is faith. I hear many people often ask me, well, what do you do in the young people's groups? We give them the Word of God. What do you do in the little kids' groups to keep them entertained? You give them the Word of God. Now, the Lord, I pray to be a vessel that would be somewhat interesting to speak to you. But the greatest thing that I pray to the Lord is, Lord, let me preach the Word. I don't need to package it up any other way except in truth and love, and I know that that will give you increase in your life. I know if it's done any other way, it's going to rob you. If it's done any other way, it's going to waste your time, is what it's going to do. And I don't want to waste your time because time is precious, and you don't know how much time you have. And the Word of God tells us to redeem the time, and if we're not speaking truth and love, we have missed it. We're not here to be entertained. This is so far beyond any entertainment, brothers and sisters. We're talking about His kingdom. We're talking about His glory. And praise God that we could come into the fullness of that and entering into the very midst of His throne. Made known to all that He has loved us. I can't even think of anything greater than that. Praise be to God. All right, so as we go with this, you can see that they'll use this these tricks to win people. I've had people say, well, but brother, and I'm serious, I get phone calls. I've told you this before. Well, do you really want to pack them in your church? I said, well, you know, our people like kind of room between them. I don't know. You know, some folks like to lay across the pew by themselves. No, I'm just teasing. But it may bring them in. But what are you feeding them? What are you feeding them? Really? I want you to be fed by the grace of God because that's what the Lord has called us to do. And to be convicted, brothers and sisters, to help build the church. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That's what God has called us. He has. To help build His church. Isn't that wonderful? And I think that we have a calling to, how about inlay some of the very jasper stones in that church? What do you think? That's exciting to me. I know that's what the excitement that Brother Paul saw in these sweet Thessalonian brothers and sisters, that there was a desire to win the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful, wonderful realization that is. But it's sad that so many people do miss that mark. It's because they just want to be satisfied with milk and not go on to eating the meat. I was thinking how, as the Word of God was being brought to me this week by the Holy Spirit, I was able to go to my sister-in-law's birthday, and I was such a glutton. You can't imagine how big a steak I ate. But as I was eating that steak, the Lord increased my stomach. And it was just wonderful how He did that. And I was able to eat and eat, and I got home, and I didn't feel bad. And you know what? It was so sweet. I was thinking how, Lord, I do. I want to eat all that meat that You have for me. And that's the truth. See, He can even delight you in that. Now, I'm not encouraging you to be a glutton. But I want you to know that He can give us sweetness in lots of different things, right? Okay. So we go on to the next one. Uncleanness. We got to move along here. Uncleanness means impure motives. See, Paul wasn't just going through the motions here. He wasn't using it for a job. He wasn't using it to get famous. He wasn't using it to fill his time. He wasn't using it to make money. It was in sincerity and truth. He was convicted. The Word of God tells us that he even said, remember when we in our Corinthian study, woe is me. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And he goes on to say, for if I do this willingly, I have a reward that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. And you'll find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And see, that was Brother Paul's heart. He just loved the Word of God. He believed the Word of God. He had received for himself that it wasn't just the words of men, that it was God's Word. And when God speaks, you better pay attention. And it's wonderful when He does speak to you. Because He's always speaking to you in love. And He is. And He's telling you to rise up. He puts you on your knees. I think about how He's been with Daniel and how I've been rejoicing in that 10th chapter. And what He did to that brother. How He shook everything up in his life. I want your attention. I want your undivided attention. And everybody else has got to get away from you. So this is the way I'm going to do it. You're going to come unto me without the camp. And I'm going to shake it up. I'm going to have these people mocking you. I'm going to have them saying all these different things. And I was appreciated what Brother Copley had said. He said, you know, when you give out the Word of God and its sincerity and truth, you don't have to worry about getting a big head. You don't. That devil will come in there and give you lump upon lump upon lump. So you do not have to worry. He said, oh man, there will be people talking about you. You'll be maybe even crippled in your body. He might even send sickness to your life. And I was thinking, man, that old brother, the Lord had him write to me about 80 years ago, didn't he? Huh? 70 years? I don't know. But see, those are the things we know because that's the Word of God. And even though there's a test in it, and even though it can seem grievous for the moment, it's exciting because that's the Word of God and it's true. See, if I just always lived this lotus land of ease and I was loving the Lord, that would not be the Word of God. He said that the most precious thing was the trying of our faith. It has to happen. We're going to soar as eagles at certain times, and that's a wonderful thing. There's a sister in the office, and I've said, oh, it was precious to see you a few weeks ago. And right there as the Lord struck me. You need the Holy Spirit. Got to have that Holy Spirit. And the devil's fighting you right now. And the Lord's allowing that to happen. And you're thinking that you can't even crawl, you can't even get up. But that's how God does it. Because He's going to give you the increase. And next time you get mount up as wings as eagle, you'll even go higher. You're going to get a bigger vantage point. You're going to see how vast it is. And then eventually, by the grace of God, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to even appreciate those valleys. You're going to appreciate the valley of the shadow of death. I promise you. God will do that in your life. He will. It'll be the most exciting times. I got the hair standing up on my arms. Because you go down in there. And I'm telling you, you know you should be despairing of your life. And there's moments that you do. And then you get on your knees and you say, Lord, I need more of Your grace. I've hit the wall. I can't go on. I'm done. But Lord, I know You're there. I know You're there. There's a smile on my face. There's a sweetness on my lips because You're kissing them, Lord. And I know that You're going to bring me into another glory. I know that I need this vessel to be increased because You got to pour more of that new wine in here. And it's got to be full and overflowing. And God does that. And that's how He does it. He's got to exercise our life in every single dimension. He'll take you to the heights we love Him. But by the grace of God, you're going to love that depth too. Because you're going to see it in all these different dimensions. And it's going to be all the love of God. Praise His name. Going on to that guile. That means craftiness. No other motive here. But for the people to grow in grace and knowledge of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And here's why. Let's go ahead and read verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust. Think of this. Allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. So here it is. The reason why is they're allowed of God by grace. It's just grace. That's what it is. And it is. It is a privilege. We are a privileged people. And it's nothing of ourselves. It wasn't because that they had these great gifts or that they thought they had these great gifts. It wasn't because they went to seminary school. It wasn't because they went to Bible college. It wasn't because they thought that they knew the Bible inside out. Oh no, they were called. It was grace. And by the grace of God, they yielded, and the Lord gave them increase. And that's so wonderful about this. See, it was God's faithfulness. In another version here, it says that He proved their hearts as well as their efforts, and in His will He called them, and He put them in trust of the gospel. He put them in trust of the gospel. And that word trust is a special word too. It means that God had confidence in them. Did you hear that? I know you're looking around and said, who is he speaking to here? God had confidence in them. He did. He put that gospel in trust to them. And I'm telling you, it thrills my heart because it has my heart go back to Proverbs 31:11, where it says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. That's what the Lord wants. Now that's our wonderful Savior. The heart of the husband doth safely trust in her. Now what do you think about the father-in-law? He's delighted too, isn't he? You ever see these dads that really, they know that their son has got a good wife. And you know what a good wife is? A wife that loves that husband. That's all. That's it. And you know what? The love of God takes care of everything, doesn't it? And He delights in that. And God rests in her too. And He says, that's good. When He saw all that was perfect, He sat back and He said, it's done. It's good. I can rest. And His heart rests in her. And praise God, that's who He is preparing at this time. This is who God is searching for at this time. And do you see that He's calling us, that He wants to put His trust in us? This wasn't just for Brother Paul. This is us. He wants to put that trust in us. And He has put that trust in us. He has given us the gospel. And He's given us Paul's gospel. I sit here and I look at you. And I praise the Lord of what He's doing. But I pray that we really have a reality of who we are in Him. Of who you are. Not in some boastful thing to the world, but in absolute thankfulness to God. That, Lord, I'm your elect. I know I'm a child. I appreciate that. But you're causing me to grow to be a mature son of God. That I can come in and sup with you. That I can have fellowship with you. You're not just letting me play around the house. You've seated me with you at your table. And we converse together. And you love me and I love you because you first loved me. And I understand what you're doing here. And more we go into those inner chambers. And you just woo me. See, that's what He's doing. And that's what Paul is speaking of here. Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there is no greater joy to God and to His Son than to see her come after this. Absolutely. That she embraces this. That she realizes that, Lord, you've entrusted this to me. I can only use my own wife. I've entrusted everything to her. I think in those types of unions, you're one. It should be seamless. I'm not trying to step into your private lives. I just pray to the Lord. But you're one. My account is her account. My home is her home. Her home is my home. There isn't anything of mine. It's hers. And what's hers is mine. And that is the way it is. But how much more it is with our Lord. And this is what He's saying. And this is why this is the high calling message, brothers and sisters. As that sweet Esther was standing there And she knew she wasn't worthy. She knew that she was in a place that it wasn't for her, but she knew she was moved by the Spirit to take it. Absolutely. That's yours, honey. You may not understand or see it, but watch. And all he could do is come to her and say, "What's your request?" And if you really look at that, it's all yours. What's mine is yours. So, what do you think he's telling us? What do you think he's trying to give us here? It's that Holy Spirit taking the things of Christ and making them ours. That's it. That's what this is. Praise God. Know it. And you know what? Go in and apprehend it. Don't be shy. Believe God. Please the Father. Say, "Lord, I believe you in these things." I talk to people all the time. "Oh, I don't want to believe all that. That just seems like I'd be too piggish." You better get over yourself or you're going to miss it. We were talking about whether they were drunken or whether they were sleeping. And you can look at one or the other and say, "Oh, I'd rather be the sleeper than the drunkard." It doesn't matter. You missed it. The thief came. We have to realize that. Whether it's just the sin that was so easily recognized by everybody else, or it was that deep-seated sin of self-righteousness that you keep in your own heart because you won't believe God, it results in the same thing. You missed His best. You did. And that's what He's calling us to, is to get over all of that. Believe me, and really believe me. Have great faith. Keep that faith. Cherish it. Hold it fast, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You talk about predestinated to be given this message, and He would that all men receive this message. This is the full knowledge, the complete, the exact message. And He wants us to have it. And you know what? By the grace of God, you've got it. Now what you going to do with it? I don't want to lay it down. I don't want to think, "Well, it's too much for me." No, it's mine. It is mine. And it's yours. Isn't that neat? Huh? We all walk around and say, "Well, I've got it too. It's mine." And see, that's that omnipresent love. Praise God. Everywhere. And that's how He does it. So praise His name. So, we understand that they were allowed of God. It was the grace of God that it was given to them. And they spoke the word, the gospel, in truth and love, that they would grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That's such a wonderful truth, is that that's how the word needs to be given. It's not just the truth. It's truth in love. That's the difference. I can't just give you love, because then I've missed the truth, and that's the difference. We've talked about it many times. You have all truth, eventually you're just going to dry up. You have all the love and the Spirit kind of stuff, eventually you're going to blow up. But you get them together, and you'll grow up. You will. And it's an amazing thing. That's the Word of God. That's how it works. That Holy Spirit is that wonderful love that's shed abroad in our hearts that causes this to be that way. All right, number four, it says, not as pleasing men. This is man-pleasers here. That's trying to please them all. If you try to please them all, it's going to result in good God, good devil, and good everybody. We've heard that before. And that's the truth. Because yes, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's going to be like that. The attitude that you'll find sometimes in different churches. Oh, believe what you want to do. Let them believe what they want. We don't want to offend anybody. I told you that story when I first was called into the ministry here a few years ago. A dear friend of mine, he had me sit down with this minister from one of the large congregations. I mean, a very large congregation here in town. And they were talking about, how many people are at your church? I don't know how many people at my church. I don't know how many people are at your church, And I know right to the number. We have, I forget if it was like 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 people. There are a lot of people there. And I said, "Wow, that's something." And then they were talking about, later in the conversation, about all these ministers that they have at the church. I said, "Wow, that's pretty cool too. You know, like all these different ones. Yeah, they have the minister for the group that believes in eternal security. And then they have the minister for the ones that don't. And then they have the minister for the ones that believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit as evidenced with speaking in tongues. And then they have the group that doesn't. Over the, and I was going, what in the world? I would love to have had a picture of my face, which would have been, you know, I don't understand this. And the guy started laughing. He said, you are green, aren't you? He said, how do you think you get 6,000 people in a church? Compromise. And that's right, brother. Now, can God get 6,000 people in this church? You say, no, it couldn't hold that many. Let me tell you something. God could. And God could do anything. I don't know what He's going to do. All right? But the one thing by His grace that we need to be about is that truth in love. Is the whole counsel of God. Is not allowing any leaven to leaven the whole lump. I appreciate by the grace of God however our wonderful Lord is preached. I do. I know that He that winneth souls is wise. And I know that that message will come forth as we give out the Word of God. But brothers and sisters, this is the church age. This is the age where He is seeking out the goodly pearl. His Father is searching out the worshiper, the true worshiper that's going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. This is what this time is for. This is what this time is about. And the bride is about ready to be taken. And as we read in there in Revelation, and it's a wonderful thing, His grace is still going to extend even past the rapture of the bride, isn't it? There's going to be people that become saved even after the bride is taken. But I'll tell you what, she's finished and she is done. And there's not any more adding to that. And you're under that message. I'm under that message right now. And God forbid I wouldn't lay hold of it. And the one requirement I read in the Word of God, do you love His appearing? Do you love it more than anything? It's not, okay, we're going to take a test. You got to tell me what John 5:4 says. I ask you one thing, truly, do you love His appearing? And you know what I think? I hope most of you, if not all of you, by the grace of God, He's leading you into that if you don't already love His appearing. Huh? Know the Word of God. See the simplicity that's in that? And when you love His appearing, you do want to know Him more. So you won't be slothful in the things of God. You'll want to come to Bible study. You'll want to get into the Word. You'll want to be on your knees. Because you're going to know that you're going to need Him. Because there's a verse that says, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And let me tell you something. The Lord knows what He's talking about. And there's only one thing that enemy would want to do. Obviously, he knows that he can't keep you out of heaven. But he'd sure love to defeat you from God's best. He just doesn't realize that every time the Lord allows him to do those things he does, it's just springing me to another glory if I'll let the Lord do it. He doesn't realize how bright I'm shining each and every time. Praise God. All right? See, that's your Lord. Just know it. Know what He's doing here. All right. So, in that we love the Word of God, brothers and sisters, and having that attitude of loving the Word of God, we want to please God. And the way we please God is we operate in faith. And it says there in that verse as well too, it says, that's verse 4, which trieth our hearts. And that's a big word there, that word trieth. It means that He's examining to deem worthy. He's not trying you for fun. He's not trying you because it's a game. There's a purpose. And He's showing forth that worthiness in your life. The trying of your faith is more precious than gold. And this is what He is doing. Approved unto God. The mark for the prize. Lord, is it in me? And praise God, do I fit the gown? I'm telling you, it is all here. The Word of God, this wonderful bridal message is throughout His wonderful word. This is the sun glory enlightening. We got to move. All right, verse 5. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. So flattering words as they knew. So they must have had this kind of stuff already, right? They already knew it. They already know this kind of thing. It was at them. And you know what they really knew about this? They knew that it robbed them. By the grace of God, the Lord caused their hearts to say, you know what? I want this message. This is the message that my heart is burning within me. As those brothers said, we knew that we were with Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? And that's what was going on here, is they knew that this was the truth because God was drawing their hearts. And sometimes, though this is misunderstood, I want to talk about this flattering words just for a moment. I would hope, brothers and sisters, that we would always encourage one another in the Lord. We should always be that salve by the grace of God, bringing that cold cup of water. But God help us to not flatter one another. That is not what we need to do. I was thinking gooey words of nothing. You've heard me say before about, and if you like it, that's your business, but my distaste for cotton candy. I have just always abhorred that. I'm sure I'll receive it as a gift from one of you as a joke. But I'm just telling you, it just is like it was gooey, it stuck, and I never got anything out of it. And it was gone. And it bothered me, it rotted my teeth, and it was calories that I could have consumed somewhere else. But it truly is a puffing up. It's nothing that's really there. And God forbid that we would ever puff one another up. That's not it. What we want to do is build one another up. Isn't that wonderful? And that is speaking truth in love. See, that's what's going to happen there by the word of His grace. That's what builds us up and gives us an inheritance among all them also that are sanctified. See, that's it. The pattern is there. Don't need to try to make it. We don't need to try to create it. It's already done. And it's a perfect pattern because it's God's pattern. And there might be some chastening along the way, but by the grace of God, you know what? We do that in love, and that's God's work. All right, then we go to the cloak of covetousness. Now, Paul never hid anything. I appreciate that so much about Brother Paul. He was the real deal. He opened his heart. He opened his life. He was not afraid to tell them, "Oh, wretched man that I am." He was not afraid to tell them, "The good that I would, I do not." Huh? He told them the truth. He said, "I struggle here. I've got thorns in the flesh. I asked the Lord to get rid of them for me. But you know what? He came and told me, man, if I take those out, you're going to be magnified too much. And then you're not going to get to the level that I need to get you at because you're not going to be dependent enough on me." Isn't that wonderful? See how He works this? It's not because He's being cruel or mean to you. It's because He loves you. Amen. He knows exactly the before ordained good work that ye should walk in them. Hallelujah. And that's it. And it's becoming real to my life. And to say, "Lord, I'm understanding that." And that's the thrill of it, really is. That's the absolute thrill, is to know that His Word is true, and His Word is true for me. It's mine. My personal Savior. This Word is mine. This Word is yours. But I find that personal Word speaking to me. Do you find that? Praise God. And I'm so thankful. And it does. And it changes us, brings us from that faith to faith and does all that. But He wasn't hiding behind greed or anything of that. Well, if you remember, even in 1 Corinthians, He wouldn't even take money from these people. Remember that? They wanted to at least give Him money. And He said, no, I'm going to go work. I don't want to do anything to charge that gospel, in a sense. His motivation was the love of God only. And the only witness, as He said, is God our witness. Amen. The only witness you'll ever need is God. God's the one that validates you. It's not man. I mean, I appreciate it, and I appreciate when we can pat somebody on the back in the love of God, in edification, that's a wonderful thing. But don't rely on that. Don't. Think about the dear brothers. We already mentioned Job. Remember those three friends that came to him? They came with him with sticks and clubs and rocks and razors and all those things. And then his sweet wife, instead of giving him a kiss, she gave him a big slap. And that was the truth. Curse God and die. Huh? But he still was looking to the Lord. He was still looking to the Lord for His suffice. So praise God. See, He knows the heart. All right, verse 6. Nor of men sought we glory. This is the last one. This is number 7. Neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. So this is precious. Again, God gave them the office, not man. God gave it to them. It wasn't their own desire. God did it. And they gave God the glory for it. And you think about how opposite that is of man today. Man is the pride is always there that's trying to seek the recognition. And it is. And God help us. We're to humble ourselves before the Lord. Absolutely. It is precious. We've already said this just a moment ago. I want to compliment God's faithfulness in your life. I want to compliment God willing and doing of His good pleasure in your life. But I understand it's God, and I understand it's the grace of God. And you need to understand that when God allows you to live that glorious life, you're just giving the glory right to Him. Here it is. Boom, boom. It's yours, Lord. You're the one that's doing this. People have said, isn't it wonderful what's going on in the meeting? Absolutely. God knew. And I said it very early on, if it wasn't the first time I ever came up to speak, God has to give, and I've asked for a double portion. And He gave it. We needed it. Now what are we going to do with it? Well, I believe by the grace of God, you know what? He's even building upon that. Isn't it wonderful? See? I want to be part of the will of God. I want to be in that will. I don't want to get run over by it. I don't want to miss it. You know, it's coming. Praise the Lord. I just want to be in His perfect will. All right, so that's what we're after. Again, not being puffed up, not thinking more of ourselves than we ought, but only continuing to decrease that people may see Jesus. Jesus. I want people to see the Lord. I thrill when people can see the Lord in my life. And I mean that. And glory to God. And when there's just love that's beaming out, and there'll be ones that don't like it, but then there'll be the ones that the Lord's looking for. And in a sense, those are the ones that He has me looking for. And here's the card to come to church. And we need to go pray now. Have you received Jesus as your Savior? You know? Those are mighty times, brothers and sisters. Don't pass those up. But may our ego or pride never take away or give offense to the gospel. May we never stumble a brother with it. May nothing interfere with the gospel. May we be promoting His wondrous truth and love. And I wrote down two words there, humility and thankfulness. And I think that that is so key into what God wants in our lives, is that humility and thankfulness. May that be His banner over us as much as His love, because that's what His love is. It's all glory to God, and it's in that humility and thankfulness to Him. All right, going on, verse 7 and 8. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. Do you see that? That's just not the truth, but that's the truth in love. And people know it, and especially kids. You know that I found? Kids really know if you love them or not. They do. Absolutely. Those little guys, they know it. And you can try to be fancy with them or do this and that, you know, like that. But if you love them, they'll respond to that love. And that's exactly how God's people are. But it's got to be His love. I can't do this. You can't do it. It's the love of God. But the love of God, as I had a dear, wonderful pastor that told me, makes you love everybody. Just does. Can't help it. Because that's God's love. When you say you can't love somebody, that's not God's love. You don't have God's love in that. And how can I say that I love God whom I have not seen when I don't love my brother who I see? That's true. Now we have to understand that. But in verse 7 and 8, here comes the fervent love in a ministry. This transforms a minister into a pastor. Lots of ministers in a lot of ways, but we want to have that love as a pastor, brothers and sisters. We want to have that, and that's the fervent love of God. It's gentle, it's nurturing, and it's not just as a nurse. And I've seen some wonderful, wonderful nurses, and we have some wonderful, wonderful nurses in the meeting. But this is beyond a nurse. This is as a mom, a mother to her child. And there's a difference, isn't there? When it's your own child. And this was Paul's heart. This was the love that would sacrifice everything, even their own life, for the children. And this is how Paul loved them. And I had to think, you know, just about 14, 15 years back, he was murdering these same people. Do you understand that? That was his whole life. And he thought he was just and right in doing that. He would drag moms and dads away from their children to be murdered. And that is a fact. And yet now here was the same man that now was the new man. The Saul that became Paul. It wasn't his life anymore. And now he was giving his life for these same people. God can do anything, can he? When we say, oh, God couldn't change them. Yes, God can. Yes, God can. And we all know it because God changed you. And he did. And God changed me. And he's changing us daily from glory to glory as we go with him. And that's so precious all in itself. But that is the affectionately desirous that we read here. This is the divine love. This is the agape love. This is a longing love. This was the love that would give in his own soul for them. This is what Paul held in his heart because they were beloved to him. I'm going to challenge us all tonight because that's what the Word of God is doing. Do you love me? Yes, we love you. But we understand, do you love me? The agape love. It's the beloved loved. It's the much loved loved. And there's a huge difference. And that is the divine love, brothers and sisters. That's the love where my heart just aches for you. Aches for you to win him. Aches for you to finish with joy. Really. And we, by the grace of God, have been given that love. And I can see it in the people of God. I can see it in my brothers and sisters of like precious faith. It's coming. And it's hit you. And that's what you want. As much as for my own life, I want you to finish with joy. As I said Sunday, Lord, let me have a life. If by your grace that I can say I'm ready to be offered. And I mean it. I want you to have it too. And don't say, oh, that was just Paul because he was Paul. Oh, no. Not unto me only. Not unto me only. He wanted these folks to have it. He wanted the Ephesians to have it. He wanted me to have it. Because this wonderful Holy Spirit caused his heart to love so much that it was there was no time to this. It was transforming all the way through this church age. It is. What's time to God? Huh? Isn't this Word alive and living? And it's the only thing that's going to be around eventually. And it's the only thing that's going to remain. It's all going to pass away. But see, I'm sensing how much he loved the body here. The body that was before him. They were growing up. They were ready to wed the Lord with him. And there's bridal message all over this. All right, verse 9. We'll try to get in just a few more verses and we'll call it quits. For ye remember, brethren, our labor. There is that labor word again. And travail. For laboring night and day. Because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. And that's so sweet to my life. There's times, really, I would love to do more. Not trying to throw roses at myself. I hope you understand this. But in a lot of ways, I see a lot of suffering. And there's compassion that we have. And we do look upon the need. And we are moved with what the Lord wants us to move in. But the greatest thing that we can do to not be chargeable is to know that I've brought the gospel of God to your life. And the same for you. You see what I'm saying? Now, that doesn't mean to be slothful and say, well, I brought you the gospel of God and I can't help you at all. That's not the right heart either. I hope we understand the difference. But the greatest thing is the gospel. Yeah, that's it. It's the healer. It's the provider. Everything. That's what the gospel does. So let's know that. So they were unselfish. As the Word of God says, they reproved, rebuked, exhorted with all longsuffering and doctrine. They labored. There was stress. They were made to even despair of their own lives. But nothing could be held against them. Because why? Because they preached the gospel. Amen. Timothy preached the Word. Oh, but I could have done that better today. I could have. Oh, I wish I were to remember. It doesn't matter. Preach the Word. How many times I've been up here and I thought, oh, Lord, that was just awful. There was a thud. And I think it was me, and I fell down dead. And yet, it's God's. And those were the times, brothers and sisters, where somebody was touched beyond I could ever imagine. And that was the time that God would let me know. And it was just there. And it was right. And it was like, okay, Lord, someday I'll believe you. You know? But that's how He does it. And this is His. This is His church. It's His ministry. And as a dear brother encouraged my heart again this week, we're just here to help build the church. Been counted worthy of that. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. He's the head. Hallelujah. All right. 10 through 12, and we'll stop there. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we have behaved ourselves among you that believe. Boy, that's a lot of stuff there. Woo. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And there it is. This is why they live the testimony, brothers and sisters, that ye Thessalonians, that ye brothers and sisters at Living Waters Tabernacle here this evening would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now, Ephesians 4:1 is singing in my heart. We won't turn there, but I'm sure many of you know it. That ye may walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. That word vocation, brothers and sisters, we studied that many times throughout the years. It's the same wording as the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's the high calling. That's the calling. That's the vocation that is upon our lives. This is the calling that is upon these brothers and sisters here, that ye would walk worthy of that high calling. And see, they were already, and we know that we are already made holy. We are already justified by grace. But the difference here with Brother Paul is he lived it. He allowed it to live in him. You already are that. The life that we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God. So we already have that life. Christ lives in me. Now, by the grace of God, I want Him to abundantly live in me. I want to be given over to this. I just want to believe it. By the grace of God, Lord, let me believe Your Word. And that's the precious thing about these believers that had only heard this brother for 3 weeks. This had been 1 year as he's writing this letter back to them. Is they got it. And you know what they got? That His Word is the truth. It wasn't the words of man. It's the Word of God. And there's a difference. It's not just a saying on a wall. It's something living in my heart. It is. And there's a difference. And you know the difference. It's not just something I repeat in my head. It's something that's more real to me than any of you sitting before me tonight. I'm given over to it. I'm completely convinced. As the word Ephesians means, fully purposed. All has meaning. It all means something. Absolutely, the Word of God means everything. Amen. And this is what He's coming at us with. This brother loved the Lord. And in that love of the Lord, he was able to live before these people, unblameable. And he behaved. There's times I don't feel like behaving. A lot of times I don't. No, I'm just teasing. But the Lord, because he loves me, I love him. And I told you, as simple as it was, and I'm thankful for the simple lessons in life, I just loved my mom and dad. And I hope these kids are listening. If they listen to anything tonight, and especially my two sons, and I mean this, love your moms and your dads. Just love them. And when you love them, you'll want to please them. You won't want to hurt them. You won't. You'll be tender. You'll allow the Lord to convict your heart. When the enemy tells you to be sassy or to be a hard head or, oh, I know better, and you even may be right, I don't know. But I know one thing, that's your mom and dad. And may God always make you tender. Because the day and the moment that you're not tender, you better watch out. And that's now for all of us, because we understand we're talking about the Heavenly Father. How many times did we hear our sweet pastor tell us, break up the fallow ground? And that means every inch of that plot. I don't want one inch not broken up for him. I don't want to hold back a thing. We're all in. As a brother told me this week, I've got the hand of hands. You talk about a royal flush. Oh, I was thrilling. I've got it. I got that dealt to me. And it hit me again. You talk about predestinated with something, sister. I've got it. And I'm going to lay it down someday. And by the grace of God, all I want to be is I want to be all in. I want to be all in.
That's right.
Not half of me, not 75%, not 99.9. I'm talking all in.
Amen.
See, God's all in. He gave me that son.
And
he told me that. I heard those words. He said, son, I'm all in. I have nothing more to give you. Nothing more. I gave you everything. Now, how about you? Huh? So, there was nothing else in his heart but the love of God. He loved these brothers and sisters without any hypocrisy. It said that here in our text, it says that he loved everyone. The real interpretation of that is he loved each one. He loved each one. He didn't just go into a meeting and say, well, I love that brother and that brother. No, he loved each one. And brothers and sisters, this is our hearts here. We're talking about the Philadelphia heart that's going to win him. And there was nothing else that he wanted to see in their lives but for them to win Christ as bridegroom. We're going to get to the fourth chapter if the Lord tarry. I think we will. I don't know. I pray he comes before then. But if he doesn't, I pray you read ahead and understand that this is the company, this group of people he's exhorting, he's encouraging to meet the Lord in the air, to listen for that trump. The fifth chapter, not to be sleepy, not to be drunken in the night. He's coming. And he's coming. And he's coming soon. And the beautiful thing is whether it was Brother Paul and these sweet people, or whether it was Brother Copley in 1935 with Sister Bodie, I'm reading about my brothers and sisters that were ready to be offered. And there was one common thread in every one of their words that God put on their heart. I'm loving His appearing. I'm loving His appearing. I'm loving His appearing. All right? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank You. We appreciate You opening Your Word to us this evening. Lord, we just ask that You would continue to open our hearts to receive this wonderful message, the message of your divine agape bridal love. God, thank you for it. Help us to just cherish this. Take it with us and to just rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. In Jesus' name, amen.